Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Crystal DeConte.
And we are
Champion Chat 360.
The episode of Champion Chat 360. Today we have a near and dear client of Danica's that is going to join us today. We'll get into that in just a second. But before we start, Danica, how are you today?
Doing good. It's Friday, which I feel like doesn't really count as in with when you're on maternity leave because they just kind of blend into one another. So it's not like I'm like, oh, it's Friday. Isn't there a meme for that? Like,
right.
It's Friday. Oh, wait, I'm a mom. That doesn't count.
I love that you call them memes.
What is it? A meme?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, that just aged me. That just sounds like my mother-in-law. It's okay.
No
big I'll get it. Awesome.
So anyway.
We're just doing good. I tell you, having a sick little one is tough. But then I think to myself, in life, right, she's with me forever. Whenever they are sick, I'm going to be feeling like this, especially when she's an adult and they like call you and tell you like, I'm not feeling well and there's really nothing you can do as a mom, I guess. Yeah, slowly but surely she's getting better. How are you doing and how's little Miss doing? 4 months old.
4 months old yesterday. She's well. She's on the boob right now, half asleep, suckling. Last night she slept great. The other night, though, she's going through these, like, periods where she won't sleep at all, pretty much. And I ended up getting two hours of interrupted sleep before I had to get up and go to work. That was not fun, but I made it through.
No.
But she got more sleep because she slept until Mike got up with her, so that was nice. So,
yeah, nothing really crazy going on over here. Pretty much the same story, same day kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel you, girl.
So, we have a client of yours on today.
Mm-hmm. We do. I'm very excited. So, Jessica came to me kind of as she was referred to me through a coworker of mine. And then just that she had interest in doing a bikini competition. And then, of course, I was like, okay, great. I would love to meet her. Like, let's set this up. And then the relationship that we developed, I feel like, was fast and furious. And she could probably speak on that, too. But it was like a sister from another mother. And I'll probably cry during this, like, whole entire thing. But I immediately connected with her and her story and her why. And then our relationship, you know, I feel like we got married really fast. And then we divorced really fast, and then we were like, no, but I really love you. And that was our relationship. But I'm so excited to have her on. This kind of goes along with, you know, we just had Chelsea on, and Chelsea had an amazing story, and I think Jessica has a lot to share with our listeners and with people in general. She's just an amazing woman, and everything that she's accomplished thus far in life as far as like career-wise and educationally is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then to boot, she's also overcome a lot of things in her life. So, hi, Jess.
Hi.
Was that a good intro?
I'm laughing so hard at us getting married so fast and getting divorced, but then really actually living together. I think that's perfect.
Well, tell us a little bit about wherever you want to start, and you can talk for as long as you want to talk, girl.
Okay. I never know where to start. I will be 27 in March, and I just moved back to my hometown in Rochester, New York. I grew up here. I have a younger brother and sister. We were all really active and always involved in each other's lives. My family is, like, amazing and close, and we always used to go on vacations, and we all played a ton of sports. I danced. I played hockey and golf and tennis. And I basically softball was my main sport, and I played that throughout college. I had a travel team growing up called the Lady Lions, and they were like all my best friends, and we had this very fake life where we did nothing but like play softball and hang out with each other all the time. So it was a big adjustment when we all went away to college and had to like live our own separate lives. And then I went to college in Florida to start, and then I transferred home. Mm-hmm. And a few of my friends from that team actually transferred transferred home too. So we had another like fake year of community college just playing softball. And then that ended and I transferred to Brockport and I played my last two seasons for my dad, which was awesome. But that was really when I started struggling with an eating disorder and just like getting more stressed out about life in general. Then I graduated and I worked at Bob Johnson Chevrolet and I ended up moving all around. I played softball in New Zealand for a little while. I moved in with friends in North Carolina and took a yoga teacher training. And then I got hired by General Motors, got moved to Vermont where I met Danica. And then in May they moved me from Vermont to Georgia. And then I committed to move back home. Like literally my stuff is in a truck on its way here now. So that's
so take us back to, so you were always active and it sounds like you came from like a very supportive family. So what was it during those last years of school that kind of had you becoming stressed out?
Yeah, see, I had a really hard time with that when I started treatment. Like, I felt so guilty because I had, like, the perfect life. I had all the friends. I had guys that liked me, and I had a job, and I was educated, and I was typically kind of good at things. And so I just felt really bad that I, like, let this eating disorder take control and ruin so many things. But I think it was at the end of my senior year, I just started developing a lot of fears about life in general. Mm-hmm. I just felt like everything was changing and ending, and I didn't know how to control anything anymore. Like, growing up, I always had a set path and a way that I thought things would go, and I just thought I knew how everything was going to work, and then just feeling like everything was changing. I had a boyfriend at the time who was going to study abroad in the fall, and I just kind of freaked out, like, he's going to be gone, and I was going to have no school, no softball, no boyfriend, all my friends were away, so the only thing I could change in that scenario was him, so I thought that that would kind of ease my anxiety, which ended up not being the case, mm-hmm. But that also gave me a lot of free time, and softball was very different to what I was used to. Less hardcore, kind of a slower, so I felt like I used all newfound free time to run the elliptical, like running trials and just controlling what I ate, all that. I had gained weight my freshman year of school. I was determined not to let that happen again, even though once I transferred home from Florida, I came back to a healthy weight and everything was fine. But I also knew that I was ending softball that year, so I didn't want to be the stereotypical like retired athlete who gets a desk job and gains all the weight. So instead of like gaining weight, I ended up losing it kind of almost by accident. Like I never really intended to. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happened. And also my senior year, that was the first time that I was kind of exposed to more girly girls who, like, my roommates were really into dieting and exercising, and they would talk about how they weren't going to eat much and then go out and drink. They were just really concerned with their look, whereas all growing up, my friends were never hard on themselves or never talked about weight. I was so lucky when I was in high school, my friend group was older than me. Mm-hmm. They were such good influences on me. And then, like, my Lady Lions and my close friends were really just more concerned about enjoying life, and we just hung out and we were just really good at that, so I never really thought twice about myself. Like, it was never anything that occurred to me that, like, people lose weight. And it's crazy, like, being in treatment and hearing people who have felt, like, dissatisfied with their body since they were, like, 8 or 15, and, like, that just hurts my heart because I feel like I was so lucky that I never had any of that. And then, I mean, yeah, it sucks that it hit me, like, in my later 20s, but it's so hard. But, yeah, that was kind of, like, the first time that I was exposed to that. And then I just started down that, like, spiral, and it just got worse and worse over the past 4.5 years. And then especially working for GM and getting moved around a lot, I could really just overwork and exercise and skip meals and isolate and work as hard as I could on all of that. And I joke now that I'm a recovering perfectionist, but I have a tendency to think that I'm like never doing enough or need to be doing more and achieving more. So developing this eating disorder, like, let me play into that, and like nothing was ever good enough, and I felt like I should like always be looking a certain way and all that good stuff.
That's interesting. So when did you start to realize things were getting bad for you?
Well, people started saying things probably a little bit at first. Like, definitely it affected my senior softball season. I wasn't as strong. I got really flustered. My dad would, because he was one of the coaches, and I would freak out about going out to dinner and, like, not getting dessert, and he would kind of give me a hard time about it. But at the time, it wasn't really a big deal. Like, I wasn't losing that much weight. Mm-hmm. So I say for a good chunk of it, I never thought that I had a problem. Like, I thought that the people who were saying things were the people that knew me. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, well, you just want me to look how I used to. And people who are meeting me now think that I, like, look pretty and skinny and, like, I'm fine. So it's, like, it's your guys' problem, not mine. Mm-hmm. But I found out, like, down the line that wasn't really the case either, that, like, people just meeting me didn't think I looked that great.
Yeah, and it's hard for people who haven't seen you in the past to know what you looked like before. But obviously your family was really close to you through your whole life, because you're a family, hopefully, that they saw the change in your body. So how did your family... Or those people that you knew, how did they talk to you? Like, how did they get involved? Let's say that.
Well, I think at first what was really hard is that a lot of the people wouldn't say anything to my face, but then they would just give an earful to my parents, which caused a lot of tension, like, in the family, because they would say things and I wouldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then as it went on, like, most of my good friends and a lot of coworkers expressed concern, but I didn't really take it for a while. Then there was, like, a period of time where my family would, like, text each other about me, and I just got paranoid and felt like everybody was against me, and, like, my sister was mean to me, and I just felt like I couldn't make anyone happy, so I would just continue doing what I wanted to do, which sounds really terrible, but it wasn't really until I scared myself and I literally had, like, no one left for me that I could really give a thought to make a change. And, like, I was just really depressed, thinking that there's got to be more to life than, like, eating yogurt and Cheerios and walking on the treadmill for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then it was this summer, like, there was a week of just bad situations and conversations with, like, a lot of loved ones. And it, like, ended with my old zone manager calling me, basically saying he'd see me in a coffin and that I just needed to get my shit together. That I was hurting all these people. Then I ended up going home to get a physical, and my weight was so low that the doctor basically, like, had me on the next flight to California for residential treatment. And I knew that was the only way that I could get. I needed the structure with no other option, and it just, like, it literally saved my life in many ways.
What did it feel like when your boss said that to you, like, that you're hurting these people? Because, you know, this is something that you're doing for, quote unquote, yourself, to, you know, cope yourself. Did that have any, like, hit any key in you? Because I know sometimes with addiction or diseases like this, it's hard to see what they're seeing and hear what people are hearing when things like that.
Yeah, I think that it was really, he was very harsh with me about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was just, like, the icing on the cake, because I had heard it so many times. And I just feel like it was just the last thing that needed to click. And, mm-hmm. like, in that moment, like I said, that I literally felt like I had no one. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad is my absolute hero, like, my favorite person on earth. And he defriended me on Facebook, I found out, because he just said he couldn't see it anymore. Oh. And, like, my best friends didn't know what to say to me anymore. So they, like, barely talked to me. People were so sick of hearing me complain about, like, overeating granola, or that I had a second Quest bar. Mm-hmm. And, like, it sounds so stupid, and I can see, like, I could just feel like nobody wanted to deal with me anymore. And so not only did I feel, like, physically alone, because I was away from home and away from all my friends, and I don't, like, physically work with anybody, then I started feeling, like, just alone in general. And, like, my mom was amazing. She still tried to support me, which I know is so hard for her. And, like, she actually told me now, she had just chalked it up to the fact that I was going to die, but she just wanted to keep loving me and all of that. So I just think that I just felt so alone, and that was just, like, not worth it anymore. My biggest fear, like, in life is actually being alone. And I want a family more than anything. I think that's one thing Danica and I really connected on, is like wanting to have kids. And the funny thing about the eating disorder is it made me feel like it would help me achieve all these things, like get the boyfriend and get the family. But in reality, it did the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. It made me way less confident, way less attractive, definitely less fun. And like my eating disorder body definitely couldn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And my friends tell me now that they're so much happier, that I'm back to my old self and they like me a lot more now. And so now I guess I just have to trust that I'll find somebody who likes me in this healthy body and everything will all be worth it.
How were those conversations? So when we met, and I know that I kind of jumped into things really harsh, really fast with you. And I opened up to you about what I was going through as well. And that's where we connected. How, in those moments, when you look back, how were you receiving those conversations?
See, I feel like I definitely received them. And in the moment, like I like trusted that and I wanted all those things, but then it just was so hard to make a change. I was just so stuck. And like looking back, I wish I would have, but it just took time.
That's okay though.
I mean, it helps now though. I was just going to say, it still helps now looking back on those and, like, having those conversations back in, like, in the back of my head, because now I really take it in.
Right. I think that you just weren't ready to absorb all of it. And as much as you were listening, to listen is one thing, but to listen and absorb the information is a whole nother thing. And I just don't think that you were ready. And I went back and forth, and I'm sure like your family did and friends did, because this is something that people should know when it comes to addictive behavior, any addictions or anything like that. It's hard to confront the individual without kind of ruffling feathers, especially when you care about them so much. Mm-hmm. And how do you do it? Like, how do you tactfully approach it without there being tension, without there being fighting, or without them pushing you away? Because that's like the last thing that you want. And so you don't necessarily know how to approach the situation. And I remember going balls to the wall. I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to say everything that I need to say. And I'm going to do it in front of your parents. And I'm going to call you out on your shit. And I'm going to tell you that you're hurting me. And I don't know how you received that, because I remember kind of looking at me like, all right, that just happened and I'm going to walk away. But.
Oh, I lost it.
Yeah.
I cried. Mm-hmm. That was hard.
Yeah, it was.
I came out of the bathroom and you and my parents were standing there and you confronted me. And I remember it was so bad. I refused to eat Outback with them after, like I wouldn't go to dinner, and they drove all the way to Burlington for the show, and I said I wouldn't eat, and like I went and I didn't eat, and I was just so terrible. I remember that.
But we talked about that too, and how we've talked with Chelsea about this too, that because there's this big feeling of guilt, and I'm sure you covered this. I would love to hear how treatment went in Malibu and everything too, but there's this like guilt feeling that people have, and without kind of handling that and addressing that guilt feeling, then it can kind of overcome you and eat you away. But no pun intended, but I'm sorry, that was kind of funny. We have to have some humor in here. But I think that guilty feeling, you have to recognize that it's not you. Like there were glimpses and pieces of the real Jessica that I was able to see. And then there were other pieces that you and I both know, like what we call the Picasso brain, and that it's just not you. Like it's kind of like your eating disorder, your addiction taking over. And that's got to be something that is definitely addressed in treatment, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's definitely, like, my eating disorder mind and Picasso mind. And I would say at that moment, it was definitely very much usually the eating disorder that you were talking to, mm-hmm. which I hate that. But it's so interesting now to me because this week will be my 26th week of treatment, which I never thought would take that long. But now it's just really interesting to me. Like, I can hear my thoughts
and know, like, whether it's being disorder-driven or whether it's me. And I can talk back and forth, basically, and use my healthy self to reason and win, like, the argument, basically, that's going on.
Yeah. So talk to me about treatment. How was that? How was that going there? And you got to go to Malibu, number one. I know that you went for treatment, but it must have been beautiful, number one. But at the same time, that was a really big step for you.
Yeah, it definitely was. I figured I was going to go big or go home. So if I was going to go to treatment, I was going to go to California. But it was definitely, that was one of the best decisions I ever made. It was the cutest little house, and there were six of us girls, and the therapists were amazing, and like, my parents were amazing. They came out to see me. They're really big on having, like, family involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 6 weeks. They did not want to let me go, but I got cut by insurance. So then I went to a day program through the same facility, but it was located in Boston. Yep. And I did some time there before I decided that I wanted to come home and here. So I was in the day program for a while, and then I stepped down. Actually, insurance cut me again, which it was crazy, they thought, and they wanted me to go right to night treatment, like, back in October, but my parents wouldn't let me. So we waited until, because my big thing this time was that I wanted to take the whole time it takes to recover. I wanted to recover 100%, not just, like, recover a little bit, and I want my team to tell me when I'm ready. So then I stepped down when they said it was okay to 3 nights a week, and then I'm actually discharging on Monday. They said I'm ready for that, so then I'll just be seeing my dietitian and my therapist, which are both awesome, just on, like, a weekly basis for check-ins and that kind of thing.
That's so exciting, Jess. I'm so proud of you, and I know that was a really big step and a nerve-wracking step, because we had a conversation before that where you said that my parents want me to go into treatment, and then it was a long conversation. Mm-hmm. Of, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? What are your feelings? And going back and forth and back and forth with it. And then finally, you know, the ball was in your court, and you had to make that decision, and you did.
Yeah. Yes, I remember reaching out to you about it, and I just, throughout the whole time, I just am so thankful to have had you here along with me, especially, like, after how everything went, and just you being there kind of almost start to finish. Definitely start to finish in the terms of trying to recover and then not, and then now really recovering. So I'm glad to have you.
I wasn't going to go anywhere, even though I threatened you a little bit. I'm never going to go anywhere.
Jess, why do you think it's working now? Because you just are saying, like, you did, like, a little bit of a recovery, or you said that you were getting better. Like, what was the difference between then and now?
I don't know. I think I'm more committed, and I just feel like I've been really open about my struggle, and I feel just really accountable to my whole support system. So I'm really afraid of, like, letting them down, and that's motivating me, because I feel like I came so close to losing everybody. I came so close to losing my life that it's just not worth it. And I feel like the majority of the people in my life have been really cheering for me and pushing for me. So I feel like I literally can't go backwards after all of this, like, time and money and energy was all spent on my recovery. And, like, I could never have done it without everybody, like, especially my parents. I'm just so thankful for everybody. But for the longest time, my reason to recover was never really myself. Like, it was, like, I do want to recover for me, but sometimes it's easier to recover for everybody else. And, like, in California, they used to say, like, that's okay. Like, do it for everybody else then, if that means you're doing it. Even now, when I get nervous about recovery, I just focus on just doing it for everybody else, like, doing it for my parents. And even though, like, I know I'm doing it for me, and the fact that I want to live my best life, sometimes it's just easy to think about everybody else, too, and that's just extra motivation. we have to go in on the board every day to treatment and write why or reason to recover. And I used to write because life's already hard. Because life is hard without an eating disorder. So, like, why put that on yourself and make it that much harder? But now I've been writing, they laugh because I changed it to life's already hard enough, but it really doesn't have to be. Like, life really doesn't have to be that hard. And I think we overcomplicate it. And so just, I've been thinking about, like, just trying to focus on the near future and the present and trying to think of, like, all the good things and what makes me feel good and doing that instead of freaking out and just making life harder than it really needs.
Through that, you, like, as you progressed in your recovery, it was almost like that dark cloud was lifted a little bit more, so you could see that life isn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not. It's funny, we joke about, speaking of dark clouds, is I feel like in the beginning, the therapist would, like, try to get me to cry, and I just was, like, stone-faced. And I remember, actually, you, Danica, when you were talking to me, and I was not even crying, and I know that had to be so frustrating for you.
Oh,
but, like, on the inside, I was feeling all these things, but I never showed it. And I think that during my eating disorder, I tried to protect myself from all those hard feelings. So, like, even back to when I started my senior year, like, freaking out about the future and, like, breaking up with Eric and, like, feeling those hard feelings that I just didn't want to feel anything anymore. And so I got really good at, like, turning it off. And I joke now because I feel all the feelings. And I, like, cry all the time. But I'm also way happier. I'm way more animated. I laugh hysterically at, like, the littlest things. And I feel so much better. So I'll take all the feelings.
That's awesome. That's something that Chelsea talked about too. And she said that when she started to get better, and she actually cried one time because I think it was that her dog passed away, and she was crying because she felt that emotion of sadness. But then she was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, this is a feeling, and I haven't had a feeling or displayed a feeling in forever. So she was happy because she felt a feeling of sadness. And that's so interesting that you also went through that too.
Yeah, and it's something that, like, you don't really notice either until it happens. Like, people used to tell me that I was different, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just me. But now, being at the place that I'm at, looking back, it was not me. And it's so crazy because I could never imagine being in this place. You can't really imagine what recovery looks like. You just kind of have to trust that, like, during your eating disorder, you aren't you, and, like, you just figure it out as it comes. And I didn't really believe that until, like, I'm here looking back. And so it's definitely, I mean, like I said, it took me a long time, 26 weeks, and then Monday I leave, and I don't want to go backwards, and I don't think that I will. I have a pretty good relapse prevention plan in place, I think. I am nervous because I get caught up with, like, I have other people close to me that I have to deal with regularly who are struggling and not doing as well. But then, actually, Christy, I think about how you say to keep your eyes on your own paper,
mm-hmm.
which is hard, and, like, society and diet culture make it hard, but I've kind of created my own little recovery bubble where people don't really talk about that kind of thing, and I've been really trying to just keep my eyes on my own paper and work on that.
Yeah.
Good. What are some things that you have set into place that you feel are going to help you to continue to progress?
I think that a lot of my support system knows, like, my red and yellow flags, and I kind of made it known that my parents can communicate with my friends and vice versa. I'm actually going to be moving in with one of my best friends, Brie, and they talked about that, like, she can tell my parents and me, obviously, if she feels like there might be some issues starting to creep back in, because, like, it's scary. I know it's a slippery slope. Like, first you forget your almonds off your salad, then you lose the cheese, then there's no chicken, and then all of a sudden there's like no lunch. And I never want to go back to that place. Like, that's another one, is like having everybody around me catch like the little yellow flags. Like other triggers, like I said, like my little recovery bubble, like nobody really talks about like people gaining weight or needing to lose weight or like talking negatively about themselves or other people's bodies. Like, having that gone helps. And I also know that one of my biggest triggers is like feeling alone and disconnected. So I think that's why I'm even more sure now that moving home was the right decision. So I just going to try to spend as much time with my friends and family. Getting involved in the community here is huge. And just basically recovering and just focusing on my goals and what means the most to me to keep me going. Like, I've been trying to use a lot of the self-care and self-compassion and put recovery first. And a lot of times when I'm struggling, I think like, okay, do I want to walk into the room and be the smallest person in the room or the prettiest person in the room? Or do I want to be the kindest and the most connected and compassionate and the person who makes everybody feel good about themselves? Like, that means a whole lot more to me. So just thinking of that, and then just like all the coping skills and experiences have made me feel like I'm pretty confident and pretty proud and ready for this next step of recovery.
That's really cool. It's nice that you have that support, but it's also nice that you're real with yourself, saying like, no, I need this support. This is my, like you were saying earlier, this is my why and everything else. One thing that is interesting is you did a show, I would say, during almost your battle, right? I would say when you were your eating disorder, is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So
I wanted to compete because I kind of realized that I needed to do something. I wanted to change my relationship with food and exercise and my body. And I thought that this would give me a goal and like a reason to gain the weight, and my competitiveness would take over. And like, if it worked for all these other girls and they have all these nice bodies, even though they weigh more than I did at that point, then it could work for me too. And I trusted Danica, and I felt like we had a really good like coach and friend relationship, like right off the bat, like she said. Like, literally, I felt like she was my big sister, and I just loved her and would do whatever she said. And I just looked up to her so much, and I was really gung-ho, and I just was all into it. And I used to lift with a trainer, and I liked it, and I also thought it would be fun to have like the world's sparkliest bikini. That was one of my goals. until I realized they were $1 million, but I still got a pretty sparkly bikini. But so I did it, and then I let myself gain about 5 pounds until I freaked out, and then I just didn't believe it was going to work for me anymore. I just thought that like I was the exception and I was going to get fat. And I just started really being a really shitty version of my eating disorder. And like, I definitely don't think competing made things worse. And I don't regret it for a single minute, but I do really regret letting my eating disorder take control and making me do things I would never do. Like, I already told you about, like, the not going to dinner with my parents. And, like, I lied to Danica about what I was eating. I told her I gained weight when I didn't. And, like, you literally bought me food to eat that I threw out of the window of my car. Like, looking back, it was just ridiculous what I was doing. Like, that is just so terrible. If I was looking at you guys right now and trying to tell you a lie, I couldn't do it. And so just thinking of, like, just all of that is just so terrible. So I really wish I would have seen it through and just trusted the process. Like, I loved my experience, and I felt like a mermaid all day. It was so fun. So I wouldn't take it back, but I was so upset letting Danica down, because, like, you do mean so much. And she said I wasn't ready to compete, and my parents came, even though they weren't happy that I didn't gain much weight, I think they were really hopeful because they knew how much I loved Danica. So they thought I would keep working with her after. So it would be like eventually down the road, I would be like recovered and at a healthy weight. But in my little eating disorder, I had all the weight that I gained. I was going to just compete in April, whether anybody liked it or not. And then I was going to lose my game plan the whole time. And then I did. And then about like 10 more pounds after that. And that's how I ended up in treatment.
Yeah. That was tough because towards like the end, I knew what was happening. And I could kind of see like the signs of this isn't going down the path that like we wanted it to go down. But you combated me so much. And I remember constantly being like, do I just let her do the show? Or do I say stop? Like, do I just remove myself from the situation? Do I stay with her? But you were so far into your eating disorder that at one point when I asked you after the show, why don't you think that you placed as high as the other girls? You couldn't tell me. You couldn't say, I need to weigh a little bit more. I have to have a little bit more size on me. I think you said like something like a suit color.
Did I even answer?
No, I think you said like, well,
I feel like I didn't even answer.
Yeah, you just looked at me like, well,
so I feel like I said like nothing that whole conversation. I just like, that was what I was talking about. Like I was just like stone faced.
Yeah, you were.
When inside I was like killing me, wanted to cry.
I think that you actually said, well, every judge is different and I guess they just didn't like me this time.
Yeah. That was not good.
No, you had, and I think that's when I got really emotional. I'm pretty sure that was the first time that I met your parents too. And I was swearing at you, crying at the same time, and pretty much telling you like how much you were hurting everybody around you. Like lecturing you, which I don't know what came over me, but I'm okay with it because that's how much I cared about you, I guess. And that's how I expressed it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, and it was nice to meet you, Mom and Dad.
No, I'm definitely glad that you did because I needed to hear it, even if it didn't click like right away. Like it did click then and it just like chipped away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So that's actually an interesting little segue, I guess, like just in your head, you had this vision of you, like you kind of talked about it through today. Like you had you, real you, who was maybe locked in a cage or something, we'll say, while this other person was in charge. What was your vision of you in your, like your real self and then your other self, like Danica uses the Picasso brain. Or if you could explain to us what it was like in your head, what you looked like or what the disease looked like.
Well, I feel like if I had to draw my eating disorder, it would for sure look like a roller coaster. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, it would look like a roller coaster. And I never realized, like I always realized that I was on a roller coaster. And I just didn't realize how many people got dragged along with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also motivating too, like that I just can't keep bringing people on this ride with me. Like I know that when I first went into treatment and came out a little bit after, like that people were kind of skeptical. And like my friend Laura is just like, well, I hope you keep going. And I know that I have to, and like everybody's heard it all before, so that's why this time has to be different, but definitely a roller coaster. And also, I laugh at Danica, you saying Mimi, is that what you called it?
Yeah.
I feel like I have a lot of those Mimis going on where, not so much anymore, but like, have you seen the Kermit ones recently where they like have like the dark Kermit and then like the regular one and he says something. So it's like, so a lot of that going on, like with the snarky response, like maybe it would probably for me, it would be like, you don't need to do cardio today. And then it's like, walk on the treadmill for 4 hours and don't tell anybody. Like that's what was going on. Exactly.
That's funny. That is a funny little, that's a good vision. It helps a lot of people, I think, understand that. So what's the plan?
Absolutely.
What's the plan now? You move back home. You have your support system. Where are you going from there?
So actually talking all about competing and writing this, it makes me, one of my goals is that I do want to do another show and I want to work with Danica. So I'm really picky about that. So I'm not really sure how that's going to happen, but then I just think it would be really cool to be able to come back to you guys with a good story to follow up. And like, I don't necessarily want to win. Which actually that's kind of a lie because I always want to win everything. But I just want to give it like a real effort with like a healthy mind and compete with a healthy body. No throwing shit out the window. Like just actually enjoying the whole process and like the booty wouldn't hurt either.
Heck no.
I've been going to a place here called Embody and it has like strength classes that I've been taking and a lot of like bar and yoga strengthening. So got a little nice little bum coming along. So I've just been focusing on like a lot of internal dialogue and controlling my Picasso mind and thanking my body for getting bigger and stronger instead of hating it. So that would be one of my goals. And just my goals to do things that make me feel good and not let anything else get in the way. Like, I don't want to care about what people think or feel like I should be doing something different. For example, I told you guys that I left my super high status, like, good job, and decided to move home, and I'm actually going to be the assistant softball coach at my college here. Like, I'm also going to try and get, like, a job at Lululemon and help out at the dealership, and I want to volunteer in Africa in June, and I just know that those are all good things for me mentally, and so just to try to not let anything else get in the way, and like I just want to be the best like coach and friend and daughter and be good influences and not let my fear of failure like get in the way and all my other crazy fears and spend as much time with my family and friends. And then, like, my ultimate goal is to have a family of my own eventually.
I like that.
Those are all really good goals, Jess. And so as far as, like, advice for others, so others that are struggling, you said that you have a couple of people that you know of that are still struggling, but what would you say are, like, tips for people who see someone struggling or maybe who are struggling, but what advice would you give to them as far as, like, individuals who are struggling? Now that you've gone through it, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say to both, like, the person and the family and friends, like, never give up, because never stop repeating your concern and your care, because one day you have no idea when it's going to be, but it will click, and it'll all be worth it. And I would be honest with people, like, since I know that that was really hard when people would say, oh, you look great, and then go talk and say how bad I look behind my back. Like, that just adds to the conflicting thoughts in my head. So I would say just be honest. And then once those people are honest with you, like, take it and listen and get help. Reach out to others. Anybody, if you're listening to this, like, you can contact me, and I would love to help. Anything that I think anybody is struggling with has power in keeping it a secret. So I just think talking about these things is so important. And then letting people help you without feeling like you're a burden. Like, that is one thing that's kind of hard for me. Like, I need so much support, and like, I need people to like hug me and love me and cuddle with me on the couch. And like, it's hard to know you need all these things, but then you don't want people to feel burdened by that at the same time. I would say opposite action is your best friend. Meal planning and learn better life coping skills than your eating disorder, because your eating disorder will never give you the things that it promises you. Like, that I know for sure. It makes you think that you're, like, special and powerful, and actually you're just being normal and boring, and, like, you're not actually in control of your life. You're very much out of control. And I just think, like, take time to think of your real values and how you want to live, and just start living in alignment with that. Montanito, the first place that I went, their main, like, mantra was to show up, pay attention, tell the truth without judgment, and don't be attached to the results. I kind of think if you do those four things in all aspects of your life, you'll pretty much be okay, like, whether you have a problem or not. So I just kind of use that as a daily reminder. I kind of try to just, like, have faith and say that God's got it, and it was never really up to me to decide how I was supposed to look, so just kind of give up that aspect of it. And, like, other mantras help too. My favorite one I picked up from my yoga teacher in Georgia, her name's Rachel. She says, may my heart be kind, my mind fierce, and my spirit brave. And sometimes, like, when I'm having some thoughts or, like, a tough time, if I just say that over and over and over and over again, it just drowns out everything else, and then I usually feel better. And, like, if I just focus on those things being more important to me than my eating disorder, then it gets me through.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree that mantra is good for everything in life. One of the things I like that you said is to communicate without judgment or fear of judgment or judgment, meaning your own judgment of your own self and fear that you're going to be judged, or vice versa of you judging yourself before you say it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Taking the judgment away from everything, I think, helps so much. Like, judgment on yourself and, like, labels on everything. And, like, I used to joke, like, if my sister was the pretty sister and I was the nice sister. And I think that I, like, had ingrained in my head, but that's something that, like, I'm trying to reverse now. Like, I don't want any of the labels. Like, I just want to be me. So, like, just removing all the judgment from everything, I think, helps too.
Is there anything else that you want to kind of cover or talk about today?
No, I just want to thank you guys so much for having me on the podcast and just for supporting me so much. I really can't say enough. Like, I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't be here without all my friends and family, my parents, and I just love everybody. And, like, I don't think people always know the effect or, like, how much they mean to people. So I've been trying to make sure that I'm really, really good at thanking people and letting people know. I've been a broken record about it. Danica was probably so sick. It really means so much to me.
Well, Danica, any last words for you?
Thank you so much, Jess, for, you know, sharing your story. I think that it takes a lot of courage to be open and honest about something that is kind of like our little demon, but we want to keep it a secret. And then when we, like, out it to the world, it makes us so vulnerable in some ways, but I honestly feel that with that vulnerability makes us 10 times stronger. And I think that you are feeling that. And I think that is only going to continue the, you know, positive momentum that you have going in your life. And roll with it, girlfriend, because you're doing amazing, and I'm so proud of you. And anytime that you need anything, just know that you have that support around you, and no one's there to judge you. I love your little tushy. I hope it grows and gets nice and plump.
It will. Thank you. I love you, too.
Yeah, and Ravenna loves it, too.
And I'm so excited for you both and your little babies.
Ravenna,
hi. Hi.
Thank you.
They're definitely a new chapter of life, that's for sure. Literally, theirs. Their chapter starts a full new book. Jess, thanks for joining us. You can follow us at ChampionChat360 on Instagram and on Facebook. We just started that up. You can email us if you have any questions or topics that you'd like us to cover at championchat360@gmail.com. Jess, thanks again for sharing your story. We do wish you all the best of luck to keep moving forward and to keep this positive bubble going, and you know that maybe some days aren't going to be perfect, but they're still a step forward.
Thank you.
And from all of us, I hope everyone else has a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.